the
Good morning and welcome to Balanced Life. I'm the host, Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts, and this morning we are welcoming Kim Zampieri, an associate broker at RE/MAX Legacy. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
Okay, Kim, so much to talk about when you're buying and selling a home, and more specifically, if you're going to sell a home, you know, the fall market's coming up, and sometimes there's things that you should do to prepare your home, some small ticket items and some larger items. So maybe you can give us some of those tips on how to prepare your home to sell.
I would be happy to. I know we've discussed this before. Basically, some of the items could lead to even bigger items, and we should keep it in mind. I always suggest, not that folks take me up on it, but I always suggest that they actually have their home inspected like a buyer would, so they know what they're up against. But for many reasons, people resist that. I'm not sure it's a good idea, but they do. And one of the reasons is that they're probably aware that there are some things that might come up as an issue during negotiation or after a home inspection. And when we say big ticket items, I'm talking about a roof, the heating system, air conditioning, maybe even stucco, siding, something to that effect. So I think if you hit it head on as a seller and you understand what would be required to pass an inspection, in the end, you can control the cost and you know exactly what you're selling. Doesn't mean the buyer isn't going to do their own inspection after the fact.
I guess it must be scary, though, if a buyer's coming into a home and realizing they're going to be putting out a lot of money, and then to realize that, oh, this is going to need a $15,000 fix.
It is scary, and no matter how well you prepare the home and do all the staging and give it the wow factor, which is what got it sold, people walk in, it's great, the curb appeal is fantastic, they love it, you might even have multiple offers properly priced depending on the area. Once the home inspector goes through the house and picks it apart, because that's their job, it's their job to tell the buyer what to anticipate for future repairs, what kind of deferred maintenance might be there, and even their job to explain how things work, especially if you're a first-time home buyer. You know, this is how you change a filter and a heater. I mean, that sounds so simple, but it's not if you've never done it. For that reason, it's a good idea to again, like I said, tackle those things head on, because after that inspection, it could change everything. The buyer is not likely to want to pay the full price or close or whatever price they've actually negotiated with the seller, knowing that they have to have that money quickly after the sale to replace a major component.
So it's not just staging the inside of your home and giving it that big wow factor. You do have to take into consideration, like you said, the roof and the stucco and other outside factors.
You do. And a lot of times sellers will say to me, oh, well, I'll offer them a credit. A lot of things play into that. Number one, if the buyer is getting a mortgage, they can't necessarily take that credit. The lender isn't always interested in allowing a credit to be given for a repair. They actually would prefer the house be fixed because they're lending usually the lion's share of money on the house. They have the bigger investment. So that it just doesn't work like that. It seems like it was a simple fix, but it really isn't. And the second problem is typically a buyer wants a price very different than the seller is willing to credit for many reasons. They have maybe gotten a quote that's very different than the seller's. They fear the unknown. Once I fix this, then what if that happens? I want to be covered in every way. And both sides have a fair position. But if you want to prepare your house to be sold for the maximum amount, you should know about those things as the seller and already be prepared to offer it to the buyer in the best condition you can.
I know when we bought our house 15 years ago, the roof was sagging over the garage and the roof did need to be replaced. And, you know, it was a negotiation back and forth. It involved the trust of the sellers from the buyer's perspective. And we ended up getting a credit, but I'm sure that some contracts fall through because of that.
They do, especially if a credit is already on the table and it would exceed what kind of a credit the buyer could receive. Now, the credit may not be for have anything to do with repairs, but there's still limits as to what the lender, if there's a lender involved, will agree to. So you do have a negotiation there, and you do have to work it out. Again, it's better to know. Better know ahead of time.
So what would be the tips that you would give someone? What do they need to do to the exterior of their home?
Okay. For one thing, you want to clean it. Very much like you clean the inside of the house. All of the little touches make such a big difference. You go through, go around the whole exterior, especially where people first come into the home, right there at the door. No cobwebs, no evidence of spiders, no peeling or chipping paint. If you have any kind of direct sunlight on your door that has washed out the paint, you want to freshen that up. All of your windows should be sparkling clean. And I know that's a chore people don't want to do. You can hire a company to do it. But imagine how the buyer feels when they're standing inside looking out and it's pristine.
Oh my goodness, I never thought of that. And that's probably the first thing you should do and the last thing that I would have thought of.
It is one of the first things you should do.
Window washing. Pressure washing.
Right.
Wow.
And all the window ledges and everything that when you're looking at a house to buy it, you say, ooh, that's kind of yucky. We don't want yucky.
No yucky factor. We want the wow factor.
Right. That's right.
True. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any other tips that you would...
Well, I would say from the exterior, you want to make sure that your grass is mowed and in top shape. You have all of the raking done. If it's that time of year going into the fall, you want to make sure that you have your lawn cleanup set up if you're not doing it yourself. Trim your hedges and make sure that your gardens are edged and your weeds are gone. We don't want that because it looks unkept and it won't help you. Also, your sidewalks and your driveway, you want to make sure that you don't have your trash bins out there for everybody to see, that there's no litter and that they're swept and they're clean. Also, your gutters and eaves, big one. All right. A lot of times, problems you would not associate with a gutter are a direct result of gutters being clogged. So when you decide that it's time to put your house on the market, one of the first things you should do is clean out the gutters, make sure they're in good repair and that they would pass inspection and the water during a storm is going where it should be going. So you might have to put an extension at the end, make sure that water can't find its way into a basement. It won't pass an inspection if it does. So you might as well take care of it now. It's not really a difficult thing for preparation. And then, of course, you want to plant whatever annual plants that are seasonal. So going into the fall, you want to make sure you have a few colorful mums in key places, maybe at the front door, a nice potted plant, maybe along your walkway, depending on your house. It's very welcoming. It's always something you want to do.
Now, those are really great tips. And for those of you who do not know Kimberly Zampieri from RE/MAX Legacy, she's located in Plymouth Meeting and she serves the Montgomery County and Bucks County area up through Philadelphia.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and she's a full-time realtor. I know so many realtors are part-time, but Kim is a dedicated full-time mom and full-time realtor. So, Kim, how do you balance life with being a full career person in your family and your home? And because it all comes back to balancing your home and balancing that curb appeal, but also balancing ourselves. So
that's right. But a lot of times... preparation, and we've said it over and over and over, helps with that. Like any other working mom, I have a lot of juggling to do, but making sure that I have the schedules in order, helping people to see that if they do schedule things and they know what is to be expected and what step one, two, and three is, will absolutely help them. So it works for me personally and also for my clients.
And I think that's what we have found over and over again on Balanced Life, that planning your home if you're planning to sell or buy and being prepared. And that's how we try to live our lives personally, too. So I understand that for sure. So, Kim, what else? Are there any other big ticket items? You mentioned stucco and I've seen something.
Yeah, stucco is a big issue. It's a big issue across the entire country. But the truth is, if you have a home with a stucco exterior, more than likely the buyer will want to do an inspection and probably an invasive inspection, which means they want to look behind it. And that's a little involved, but that lets them know whether or not there's any kind of an installation or moisture issue. Again, if it's there, it's going to more than likely be inspected. So as a seller, preparation and understanding what condition your exterior is in will be very helpful for you when you decide what the proper price is and how to position that property on the market. We're not going to make the problem go away without reviewing the type of installation that's done and people making some different choices, but we can deal with it. I mean, realtors deal with it all the time. This is something we help buyers and sellers to negotiate on a regular basis, but know that it exists and that it is a problem, so, or can be a problem. So we want to make sure the proper professionals are hired to evaluate the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And a good, strong evaluation will absolutely help in determining whether or not you need to do anything.
Is the problem with stucco that we live in a wet area, or is it shoddy workmanship? What?
It can be a combination of things, or okay, just one thing. It's often installation standards are different when the house was built than they are now. Not mm-hmm. that they didn't exist, but perhaps it wasn't mandatory that they be followed. You have a lot of hands working on the same project. Perhaps somebody installs a part incorrectly or leaves it off altogether. Mm. There's a lot that goes into stucco, and there is different types of different styles and different types, and people need to be aware of what they have. But also, it's not necessarily, not always the product. It can be the product, but it's usually the installation or some of the parts that should be around major openings like windows, doors, garages, things like that.
And again, that comes back to what you were saying earlier, that even if you are selling your home, maybe have that home inspection prior to selling your home.
Absolutely. So you have, especially when it comes to that type of a system. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely want to do that. And I think sometimes sellers don't, because they're like, oh, well, maybe I'll get lucky and I'll have the one buyer in a million who wants my house and my stucco problem. But it's not likely to happen. Yeah. So, you know, let's deal with it. If you don't have the money to fix it, that's an unfortunate situation, but don't believe that the buyer has the money or the willingness to fix it. So
that could be a deal breaker.
It very often is a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. And also another big item is the heating and air conditioning, the age of it, I guess.
Yes.
And if it's in proper working order.
That's right. Maintenance is key. If you know that you haven't had somebody look at your heater or your air conditioner in 5 years, chances are there are a few things that have been let go. So that is not an expensive thing to do, really, relatively speaking, to the value of your home. You should absolutely have it serviced, have it up and running, prepared for anything that might come your way, and be able to put that on your disclosure statement that this is the last time, you know, the date is very close to your list date, that the heater or air conditioner was serviced, that it was in working order. And the older that system is, the more important it will be to prove to a buyer that you've maintained it properly.
No, that's great. And I know you have a lot of great tips on your website, kimzrealestate.com, and also on your Facebook page. You're always giving tips.
Yeah. Well, we have Z Tips on Tuesdays, and we, you know, that goes out to Twitter and also Facebook. So I think they're a great, great resource. They really make you think, oh, yes, I bet that would be important to somebody if they wanted to buy a house. So
I've learned so much, so I appreciate that. And I wish I had a fun last name like Zampieri, because that Z is so much fun to play
it's
off.
Fun.
Z Tips, Z Tuesday.
Sure.
So I think that's great that you offer everyone advice on whether they're buying or selling their home. And I know you always say buying or selling, let's have coffee, because mm-hmm. really over a casual conversation, you can find out the needs and have a discussion with someone without pressure.
That's right. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants to feel like they're being sold a used car, so to speak. And mm-hmm. they really want you to listen and understand what their needs are and whether or not they can do some of the things I've mentioned. There might be reasons mm-hmm. why they can't. And those things have to be taken into account. But yes, I think just a nice open dialogue, letting people know what I can do for them, what services I offer, the guidance. I really think it's about advocacy and guidance a lot more than it is just sticking a for sale sign in the front lawn. There's a lot more that happens before and after you have a sale. So it's a great time to chat with somebody and really get an idea of what their needs and wants are.
Absolutely. And I'm sure people have questions, and that gives them the opportunity to ask. And having someone that's experienced and has been through this process and can walk them through it gently and compassionately, yes. I'm sure is very important. That's it a big decision. That's a lot of money.
It's a big decision. It's often the most amount of money somebody ever spends or makes if they're, bought their house 30 or 40 years ago and they're in a good position and they haven't refied and taken too much money out. They might have an awful lot of equity. So there's a lot of things that go into it. And it is a big decision all the way around. So it's very important that you're comfortable with your agent and that you feel as though they have your best interests at heart, because that's what they should have, your best interests at heart. It may not be the right time for you to sell. Mm-hmm. You may need to wait till you can take care of some other issues with the house. Mm-hmm. And that maybe is part of the conversation. Unfortunately for me, I don't get to sell it, but hopefully I have a lifelong client who will understand that was good advice.
Well, honesty is part of the process. So, being honest with them, whether it's painful to hear or not, I think that's very important, especially, when so many dollars and families are at stake.
Yes, it's very important. And often when somebody has lived in a home for a very long time, they're a lot more emotionally connected to the home than they believe they are. So when you're pointing out all of the challenges or possible negative issues or things that should be addressed before they become a negative issue, it's tough for people to hear. And maybe they don't hear it the first time.
Yeah.
But it's the way that you let somebody know that this is about putting a product on the market and getting you the most money possible for that product.
Yes, and I think that's true. You have to remove some of the emotion. We are attached to our homes and really it's memories. I wouldn't say that we're attached to something completely financial, but it's true. But we have to keep that open mind and open ears. And obviously a realtor wants what's best.
Yes, of course.
Kim Zampieri, realtor, knows and wants what's best for a client. So now tell us with the fall market, how is the market doing? I am seeing a lot of for sale signs out there.
Yes, people are definitely, saying, okay, what am I going to do going in towards the end of the year? And they're smart to do that, because if they wait until after, say, Labor Day weekend, or maybe even after the 15th of September, now they're in the mix with everybody else who is going to say the same thing. So it's not a bad time to have your house on the market. Things may be a little slower in that people have a lot of activities they're enjoying in the summer months, especially if you have wonderful weather. But buyers who need a home are going to be out there. They're out there 12 months of the year in our market. There's just peak times and slower times. But if your house is ready, hey, get out there and get ahead of the rush. Mm-hmm. And if you need to be under contract and sold by the end of the year, you really shouldn't wait much longer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now's the time, right?
That's correct.
So I know you're always keeping a Z Market Watch out there. I think you have a website that tells folks what a house has sold for in the neighborhood.
That's right. I do. It's KimZMarketReport.com. You can log on to that and within a minute or so have a report sent to you at the timetable that you would like, once a week, twice a week, once a month, whatever it is you tell me. And you will put in the information about whether you're buying or selling, where you're looking. And if you're selling, you can get comparable sales on a regular basis, what your new competition is, so you can see what the neighbors are doing. That's what everybody wants to know. And if you're buying and you're waiting for something in particular to come up, you just put that information in there with your email address and you will get the report regularly.
That's great. So they'll plug in their zip code or where they're looking or where they're selling,
right,
and the whole area will come up. And
yes, if they're selling, they're going to put in the particulars of their home. Okay. How many bedrooms? They have a single, twin, townhouse, that kind of a thing, so that the comparable sales make sense. Mm-hmm. If you want to see more than that, then you wouldn't be so specific, but that's not really going to give you a true picture of your competition and the other houses that have sold. So that would be your comparable sales. So if you're a seller, you put all of the particulars about the property that you're selling in there. And if you're a buyer, you put in the areas that you're interested in, what type of house you would like to see.
I love, in today's age, we're all educated and informed and can have all this information at our fingertips. And
that's right.
Usually people like to start online. So I think that's a great tool. I definitely encourage everyone to plug into
KimZMarketReport.com.
That's really great. Mm-hmm. So Kim, any other tips for us if we're selling? We have discussed the exterior of the home. How about the interior of the home?
Well, I'm a firm believer in staging. Everybody hears it. They've seen lots of shows. There's HGTV and all shows there that really have captured people's imagination. But more than that, they've actually led to a lot of buyer expectation. And as the seller, you want to give them what they expect to see if you want to sell your house in this competitive market. And staging goes along with it. I'm a firm believer in it. I can actually point to the data that shows the houses before and after, the differences that it made, how much more online activity, how many more appointments, and how much faster we got an offer. People don't want to see your clutter, your stuff, your junk. It's got to go. They have certain opinions about what colors, believe it or not, color schemes, flooring. It's all important. And I want to help people get through that because, again, it often creates another defensive situation with sellers because what do you mean my red plush carpet is not what everybody wants? Well, it's very, very personal, perhaps not modern, a little outdated, and it's not personal. It's not a personal attack. It's just the truth.
True.
Just look at the stats. Most people want to buy hardwood floor. What can we do to get you as close to that hardwood floor as we can? If it's under that carpet, let's get rid of it. If you can't afford to install it, what's the next best thing? And a stager will absolutely get us through that. So I always offer staging to my sellers. And if they're receptive, they can see the difference. Often they look back and they say, wow, I wish I had done this before I decided to sell the house. It looks so great. And it does.
Yeah, they don't want to leave after they fixed it up, right?
We won't go that far. Yeah. But anyway.
No, we won't say that. No. No, but I know when we went to buy a home, there was a home. It was beautiful on the outside, but it had red, scarlet red shag carpeting throughout the entire house. And it sat there on the market forever. Mm-hmm. And you know, ultimately, they didn't get the price they were looking for.
That's right. Because a lot of times, people don't have vision. It really is a shame because I think a qualified agent should have helped the buyer to see the bones of the property and perhaps what its true value was. Maybe it wasn't priced right as a result. But when you have what we call an objection, something that people just don't look for today, it's not their cup of tea, it's too personal, mm-hmm. okay? Then you can either pay to remove it or you can pay in the price. So it's pay now or pay later. If you don't have the resources, then you want to price your property to account for that mm-hmm. and understand that even when you do that, some people, they just have a very, very high expectation of what the house will look like. It's just not going to be for them. People often do not wish to do more work once they move in. You know, there's a lot going on today that you have two people working outside the home. They may have more than one job. They don't want to come home and start working again. If you know that and you prepare your house so that they can just move right in, so to speak, you know, hang their hat mm-hmm. as they walk in the door and start living, you'll have a lot more success. If you can't, and like I said, there's many reasons why you can't, then you have to make other accommodations.
Yeah, and I think that's great that in the fact that they need to sit down with you and strategize, because you just gave three or four different scenarios that you have to alter to get it to work for you. And it's true.
It is true. Everybody's situation is different. Mm-hmm. It's easy to say what all of my best tips are, but you really have to know what everybody's situation is to help them through it. And you have your best case scenario and your worst case scenario, and you go from there. But best case scenario is to make it look like it belongs on HGTV.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
your
goal
is to be featured on a major television program.
Right.
But Kim Zampieri can help you do that. She is with RE/MAX Legacy out of Plymouth Meeting. Kim, can you give us your website and phone number so people
sure.
can get in touch with you?
My website is Kim Z Real Estate, KIMZ Real, REAL, Estate, ESTAT.com. And you can always reach me on my mobile phone. It goes right to me. And that number is 215-280-7752.
I strongly encourage if you're buying or selling a home to check out KimZMarketReport.com, and that will give you the information, education you need to get a really good start. And also look at her website, KimZRealEstate.com, and all the tips she has on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Kim, we appreciate you coming in today. That was really great information.
Great, thank you.
Things I've never thought of with stucco and heating and air conditioning and roofing. So a balanced life is keeping our homes balanced, whether we're buying or selling. So thank you for tuning in today. I'm Renee Gable with In Touch Marketing Concepts. Thank you.
Be the center. Be my soul.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Balanced Life. This is Kim Kennedy filling in for the vacationing Renee Gable. She will be back next week, and we're excited about that. But we are welcoming to the studio today Tara Ferrier, who, amongst other things, is a member of a local chapter of Kiwanis in East Norriton that is in the process of forming. Tara, I know you also work at Penn Christian Academy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Penn Christian Academy is located in East Norriton, and I'm currently serving as the head of school. I've been the head of school. This is my third year going into that. I've been with the school for 15 years now, and we're just so excited to be a part of the East Norriton community. Going into the 2016 school year, we will be celebrating our 50th school year.
Wow, that's wonderful.
So we're so thrilled that we are able to offer strong academics in a Christ-centered environment. And we are just proud of all our students. We range from preschool. We start at age 3, and we go all the way up to 8th grade. And we offer many different extracurricular activities along with a solid academic foundation.
So if somebody is listening today and would like to know more about Penn Christian Academy, do you have a website address you can share?
Yes, Kim. Thank you for asking. They can go to pennchristian.org, and there's many different tabs of information that they can find. They can even fill out an information format form if they would like to take a tour and come visit our school.
That's great. That's wonderful. And it's a great transition because as you're talking, I realize, I can see why a group like Kiwanis would be of interest to you. By the way, I'm also going to be working with Tara in Kiwanis. Jen Vare is the head of this particular chapter, but was not able to be with us today. So we're doing our best to inform listeners about this very worthy nonprofit organization. Tara Kiwanis has been around for a long time, yes?
Yes. From what I gather, the information meetings that I attended, and they're also international, which I found to be another aspect that really piqued my curiosity into looking into joining this club.
And also something that is near and dear to your heart is that it does a lot of work with children. What types of work with children do they do? Can you share that with us?
Yes, sure. Kiwanis represents two areas for me that really interest me. Their main purpose is to serve children in the community. And that really sparked, again, my interest and my heart to serve the Lord by serving children. And they recently had an event at the Norristown Library where they taught children gardening skills. And we have an upcoming event where we're collecting school supplies for children in the community of East and West Norton and also Norristown that cannot afford the school supplies. So we're going to be having a couple of different collection boxes available. And parents of children can go to the dollar store and pick something out also and give supplies so we can pass that around to the students of our schools that really need some help with their supplies for school. That is just one service project, but Kiwanis does different things. They look into the community and find where the greatest need is, and either it could be through a collection or fundraising, and it's all to support the local community children. Another aspect of this club is that they have different groups at different stages. You might have heard of the Key Club in high school. Mm-hmm. I know my daughter was a part of one at Norristown, and the Key Club in the high school, Builders Club in middle school offers a chance for children to learn how to serve also.
That's
great. So I love that it was two components, that we could reach out and serve the children in our community. And myself as a senior administrator at PCA, I want to make sure that my students continue to look for opportunities to serve others.
That's wonderful. That really is. And this collection is in the process of being formed. So when we know of where the locations will be, Tara, you'll come back in and
yes.
share that information with us.
Yes, that would be great, Kim.
Okay, well, just folks, we're just letting you know that's coming. There's a real need out there. This is targeted to children in need, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you know that it is going to children who are going to really need it. Kiwanis is also wanting to do a lot of other projects, and it's multifaceted. They're open to ideas too, correct, Tara?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're just starting to form this group, we have plenty of opportunities, and we're looking for people to join this group so they can contribute their own ideas of how we can serve children in our community.
Haven't they done some reading programs, some things like that, and for local schools? I believe they've done that.
Yes. Yes, I believe so.
And they're Kiwanis' main focus is supporting children, helping kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that need is so great today, as so many parents, both parents have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't have as much time to spend with their children. And that's where you as a volunteer, somebody could volunteer with Kiwanis to come in and help kids who need some extra help with reading. Or maybe just get involved in a kid's life and just show up in their life and do something extra for them. And through Kiwanis, you have an opportunity to share ideas, get involved, and be a part of the solution. Too often we complain about kids these days, this, that, and the other. And here's an opportunity to make a difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So where is it? When and where is the next meeting, I should say?
Oh, that's a great question. So currently, we will be meeting in the East Norton Panera Bread. This next meeting will be July 23rd, and it takes place at 7:30 in the morning to about 8:30. This affords everyone the opportunity to begin their day and get on with the rest of their schedule, whether it be work or other things that they have to attend to. So it would be July 23rd at 7:30 in the morning at Panera Bread. You can even schedule to have your coffee and your breakfast there.
Nice.
With us. And we meet in the back room. And it is open to anyone who is interested in serving the children of the community.
Now, by anyone, Tara, is that individuals? How about businesses? Are they welcome?
Yes. Businesses can also join, and they would have a membership within that business, and then they can send anyone to the meeting. It wouldn't just have to be the one person that has to attend all the time. Because this group is newly forming, we have not dedicated I believe what is going to be voted on is that we meet twice a month. And right now, tentatively, we have the second and fourth Thursday penciled in on our schedule as we begin this group. But we believe that that's probably going to be good timing for us. So twice a month is the commitment. Again, come out, talk with like-minded people that are about the same mission in serving the children.
Okay, now I have to ask, is there a fee for joining Kiwanis?
Yes, there is. It will be $100 for the yearly fee, but if you join now, it will cover you actually into the next year. The Kiwanis Club begins in October. Their fees are due, but if we join now in July, we won't have to renew in October. It will then give us almost a year and a couple months to be a part of this wonderful organization.
So it sounds like this is the time to join, huh?
Yes, and Jen Vare, who is going to be the head of this group and is really helping to form it, she has also just been nominated to be the governor of Kiwanis in the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow, that's great.
So she's bringing years of experience and her expertise to this club as we get going.
Now, when I hear East Norriton, I was just thinking to myself, we have some listeners who are thinking to themselves, oh, that's great, but I live in West Norriton, I live in Norristown, I live in Audubon, I live in Oaks, or they live further away. Does that eliminate them from participating?
No, not at all. We are excited to just have this be our meeting point, but it is open to anybody and everybody. We haven't determined the exact name yet, but we want to make sure that it represents the areas, and it'll probably be East Norriton or Norriton Crossing or something like that. But yes, it's open to everybody that lives in the area that can get there.
And I should remind our listeners that Kiwanis is a very well-established organization, and it kind of has fallen away a bit, but we are informed that there are a lot of chapters forming in Montgomery County. So if you're interested, you'll want to contact Kiwanis. Go to their website, kiwanis.org. And you can find out more information there. We'll be right back after this break.
Jesus, be the center.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Hello and welcome back to The Balanced Life. This is Kim Kennedy, substituting for our regular host, Renee Gable. She'll be back next week, but today we are visiting with Tara Ferrier, who is an administrator at Penn Christian Academy in East Norriton. But Tara is also involved with the local chapter of Kiwanis, which, by the way, Tara informed me that it is 100 years old, and it has a long track record of doing just some amazing things in the community, making a difference in a positive way without a lot of fanfare. An organization to separate it from all the Rotary and Lions Club and all that, an organization that does a lot with the youth in its community. I thought maybe this segment, Tara, we could talk a little bit more in detail about that.
Sure, Kim. I also noted that there's nearly 600,000 members of all ages involved with this organization, and there's more than 15,000 clubs globally. They're represented in 80 nations and geographic areas. So they have a long tradition of helping people and of focusing on children. And one of their taglines is that they're volunteers. They help them to be dedicated to improving the world one child and one community at a time. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. And it puts things in perspective. And I was thinking about it in the break. This program is about a balanced life. And I think sometimes we get unbalanced because sometimes we focus too much on ourselves.
Mm.
When we get out ourselves and we start serving other people.
Right.
And it helps pull things into perspective. Like, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I sit down and I listen to friends and they tell me what's going on in their life, and it's like, oh, things aren't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Things could be a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just that sense of balance.
Yes.
Real original,
yeah.
Right? But what say you?
I totally agree with you, Kim. I know that even in the busiest times of my life, when I have continued to commit to serving others, that's where you find the true joy. And I really find you find refreshing for your life. And it does add to that balanced life. Because if we are too self-focused, we won't be balanced out. And so it does bring things into perspective when you see other people struggling. And just to be able to help them in some small way, I think brings great joy to the person giving it and doing it.
Very, very well said. And maybe you could share with us some of the things that Kiwanis has done to make a difference in young lives.
Yes. One of the things that, you know, again, I was really impressed with is that they have a sponsored a school leadership program. And they have developed these at all different levels. For example, for their elementary school students ages 6 to 12, they have the Kiwanis Club Kids. And this club involves mentoring, recognition for kids who just need that extra encouragement and support. And for their middle school students, ages 12 to 14, they have what is called the Builders Club. And this is the world's biggest service and leadership program for children of that age. So that's awesome that they're pouring back into children and the community so that they can get older and then again give back. The world's oldest and largest service program is the Key Club that I mentioned earlier, and that serves students ages 15 to 18. You find this club in high schools, and students join this club, and there they too also do service projects for their community. Again, they're just trying to leave that legacy for children to walk at the calling to serve others. And finally, in the college age is Circle K International. And they do this at the university and collegiate levels. And leaders are really trained up and raised to then become a leader themselves and to start a club. So that's a great thing that they're doing. They're multiplying their leadership development through all of these clubs.
It sounds to me, Tara, that like with the reading program, you can have some of these older kids work with some of the younger kids and helping them with maybe they're struggling with reading or another subject.
Yes.
That's a way that these kids can put into practice what they've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And all the energy that's been put into them and the love and the care, they can now share it with younger kids.
Correct. It really does broaden the spectrum of partnering. through the different ages also.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking, and, you know, if I can be candid with you, it occurs to me that that's been lost to some degree in America. It's just something that's in such a society that we have, so much. We are a blessed country, and it's easy to get taken up in the blessings and lose the priorities that serving God, serving others. What's that acronym? Joy, Jesus, others, you.
Yes.
And I appreciate you reminding us about that through this is one avenue that you can give back. You know, some people might think, I can't do anything, but to sit with a kid and help them read or some of these, you know, there's a multitude of projects that really that there's something there for everyone to serve in.
Exactly, Kim. And even if someone's skill set is calling people on the phone, they can call to help sponsors if we do fundraising for this club. Or maybe someone is at home thinking, wow, I can email. I'm really good at emailing. We could use your skills in this club. Maybe somebody has a lot of contacts that they can point and reference us in different needs throughout the club and the other projects that we're going to be doing. So I believe that anybody can find a place to serve at this club. And it'll be fun, too. I've already had a blast getting to know some of the people that have come out for the meetings.
If you can stay awake at that time.
You really find out who's a morning person when you hold a meeting at 7:30.
Oh, my. And I believe I heard something mentioned about East Norton Community Day, September 12th.
Yes. Kiwanis will also have a table there for anyone that wants to stop in person at East Norton's Community Day and stop by the table, ask questions. We'll be able to further give you some more information and communication about this club if you would like. And by then, we might even have our second project to be able to be announced at that time.
That's great. That's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit more about who a typical member is, because I think, you know, there's a lot of people listening who I think genuinely want to help, but they're thinking, I am so busy, I am so maxed out, and they are. This is a very, you know, everybody's busy. Are there requirements that you have to put in X amount of hours a month? I mean, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
That's a great question, Kim. The time amount, of course, we'd want you to come out to the meetings, but you don't have to. Again, if you're somebody that stays in communication through email, we've been doing some emailing chains to find out what our next step was in the service project. Someone could definitely stay connected that way and give their input and ideas that way. Of course, we'd want you to make as many meetings as you can, but there's not a definitive number that you have to make or hours to put in. Again, the focus is just being able to share your skills with us, share your ideas, share your passion to serve those children. Ideas are really valuable, so we need to know what our next plan is, what our next service project, and that anyone can do that from any walk of life. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time just to be committed.
I think also people should know, and this was addressed at the last meeting, about the dues. I've heard there are some organizations out there that I've heard that for every $10 that is donated, only $1 gets to the end user, and the other is on administration, whatever that means. But that isn't the case with Kiwanis. Do I remember correctly?
That's correct. They have two ways of splitting their money. When funds are raised, it goes directly 100% towards the goal of that community outreach project. So a portion of that is not going towards administration. They have a separate budget for that. So any money that is raised through the funds goes directly 100% to that cause. So that is a great thing, because you're right. Some organizations do have to take a portion of that and pay the people that work for them. But they have two separate accounts at Kiwanis so that 100% can go.
That's great. It's truly a civic volunteer organization.
Yes, truly.
One thing, too, that I have noticed in my attendance there and working there, it's not a just, you ever hear that saying, we four no more? And Kiwanis, I said that correctly, didn't I?
I believe
Kiwanis,
so.
Thank you. Definitely, there's an inclusion, and all ideas are welcome. There could be people listening who are thinking, I know of a need. I know of a community or a family or a group, or here's an idea that could fit in. What would you say to that person?
Oh, I would welcome them to come and join us at the club meetings. The club meetings are very laid back. We, again, open it to all people who are willing to join us and have that same commitment, again, to helping the children. And I think ideas are probably the biggest thing that we need, because we need to know where is the need, how can we meet it, and then within the club, we can design the steps of meeting that need. The people there have been very welcoming and accepting, and it's been a lot of fun. It really has already.
You know, I was talking to somebody about Kiwanis and sharing with them some of the goals they're trying to accomplish, and this person looked at me and said, well, that's what I pay taxes for. It could be that somebody in the audience is thinking that too. What would be your response to that?
Well, as a senior administrator of a school, I realize that the tuition and or the taxes that someone pays for a public school system, it doesn't fully cover everything that's needed. And there is always somebody in greater need. And for example, with our school supplies, many families, even those working families, are the working poor, that they really struggle just to provide for their rent and their food. And so this is just an additional supplement to help, you know, them in this need, specifically for our first drive of collecting school supplies. But other areas, too. Again, I don't know that many people that are so blessed that they don't need anything else. There's always comes a time that you're in need or just you need an extra helping hand. And what a blessing to be able to bless a family with children. They might have multiple children, and it might be hard for them to say to their child, you can't get a new backpack this year. And we don't want that. We want to be able to pull the resources of those that are blessed to bless others. I believe it's kind of like the tithes and offerings. It's kind of the over and above, just giving that offering of something more that we can help out with.
That's great. I mean, that's so well said. I always think of the little boy with the loaves and fishes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Didn't have much, mm-hmm. but the little we give, God bless us.
That's right.
In so many different ways. And I agree with you. There's a lot of needs out there. I remember when I was growing up, I'm going to date myself now. There were a lot of volunteers in the schools, mm-hmm. a lot of moms, and times have changed. Mm-hmm. There's a necessity in many cases for the mom to be working.
Right.
And that absence is felt in the school?
Yes, it is. It is, yeah.
So this is a great opportunity for retiring?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. We already have a couple of women that are part of the club that are retired, and they're giving their wealth of experience and knowledge to this club already.
No, that's wonderful. So it's certainly not limited to that, and it's not just day hours. Projects can be what works for your, if you're a person who can give some time on a Saturday, maybe a Sunday afternoon. There's no limit on mm-hmm. ideas and time, but there is certainly a need for children. What about, Tara, for immigrant children in the area? Can you address that a little bit?
Well, we all are finding that there is a great need there. Some of the local elementary school principals were able to share with us the fact that there's a great need there. Again, not having as much income, it's hard for them to provide everything that is needed for their children. And we want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel that they have their needs met and that they can concentrate on the business of learning and not worrying about the smaller details of the supplies, as just one example. So we definitely want to reach out to even the immigrant families in the area. And also, Kim, I'm sure you're aware, but they have Kiwanis has a global impact. We just heard at our last meeting that Jen shared with us that globally they have been able to provide thousands and thousands of dollars of medical relief for children in ways of immunizations that
wow.
were not there prior, all due to the committed members of Kiwanis and their ability to raise the funds needed to provide this.
So it sounds like you're saying to me that if you think that your little bit of contribution doesn't matter, you're wrong. It does matter.
It indeed matters.
If you were to stop that suddenly across the country, it would have a tremendous negative impact if people just stopped. So you say, I only have an hour available. Take it.
Right, right. Every little bit helps.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I have really enjoyed speaking with you. This has been a great conversation. I think Kiwanis is a very worthy organization. Time invested in the next generation is not a waste of time, folks. Please take the time to investigate Kiwanis.org. If you have any questions about the East Norriton chapter that is forming, feel free to contact the station at info@1180wfyl.com. Thank you for joining us. Jesus.